University of Maine at Port Kent.
My topic of discussion is Port Kent Mill Company, which was organized in 1890 and ran from 1890 to 1919. I first became interested in the topic when I was required to do a term paper for Maine history under Dr. Roger Grindle. The Fort Kent Mill Company was organized in 1892 by the Bradbury brothers, Charles, Christopher, Thomas, Lester, and a brother-in-law, John Mullen. The company operated under the name of the Fort Kent Mill Company from 1892 through October 31st, 1916, when it was resold to the following people: Dora A. Bradbury, Niall C. Pinkham, who was the president of the company, Thomas S. Pinkham, and Grover C. Bradbury, who was the treasurer of the company. The amount of capital stock that they had on hand at the time was approximately $100,000, and the amount of common stock was approximately $100,000. The purpose of the corporation, founded in 1916, was to own and lease land, buy and sell stumpage, cut and manufacture timber, own and operate sawmills, and maintain stores and warehouses to promote the business of the corporation. The company was involved in purchasing a great deal of property. The total purchases, just in the Fort Kent area alone, which are available at the Registry of Deeds, were approximately $52,962. This was just purchased between the years of 1892 through 1919. The company changed hands again in 1919 and was completely sold to Niles C. Pinkham, who bought most of the land, and Thomas S. Pinkham, who purchased the store rights. And the store was still visible here in Fort Kent up until 1955, when it burnt down quite accidentally. Between the years 1893 and 1902, the Fort Kent Mill Company was responsible in paying $1,287.45 worth of highway taxes. These highway taxes were used to pave roads, improve culverts, and generally improve the transportation system in the area. Fort Kent Mill Company was also the largest taxpayer in the area from this period of 1892 to 1919. It paid approximately $13,700 in local taxes, which were county, state, and town taxes during this period. Fort Kent Mill Company was mostly involved in cutting lumber. About 5 million feet of logs were cut annually. This consisted mostly of spruce, hemlock, and cedar. The logs were driven to the mouths of the rivers, where they were boomed and winched to the foot of St. Floyd Lake. When the booms were broken and the logs were driven into Eagle Lake, and from Eagle Lake down the Fish River and to the mill, which was located just below where the Fort Kent Mill Bridge is located presently. The logs were driven to the mill, where they were held in a boom and later sorted through a sorting gap, and the spruce was sawed into long lumber and the cedar into shingles. Most of the pine was sawed into clapboard. The mill employed approximately 40 people, such familiar names as Augustus H. Drew, Absalom S. Dow, John Austin, Benoit Michaud, Billy Martin, and other people whose families still reside in the area. Fort Kent Mill Company also owned a grist mill, which was sort of a service to the town, in that most of the local people could bring their flour, oats, buckwheat, or whatever they had, and for a small fee, the company was willing to grind the flour for the, you know, local inhabitants. The company, which operated from 1892 to 1919, had its biggest year in 1918, when they held approximately $70,000 worth of real and personal property. The company was responsible for all this property and had to pay taxes. They paid approximately $1,392 in property taxes that year. The mills were sold in 1919 to Thomas S. and Niall C. Pinkham. And in 1921, the river rights, the Fish River, Eagle Lake, and St. Croix, were turned over and sold to the Great Northern Paper Company, which used it up until the late 1960s. And the river rights, the Fish River Falls, located next to our present-day airport, were sold to the Gatineau Light and Power Company, a Canadian firm, and in turn resold to the Maine Public Service Company. The only remnants of the mill left are various parts of the dam which washed out one spring, and these are located below the Fort Kent Mills Bridge. The Pinkhams still own a major part of the property in town, located mostly on Pleasant Street and in the corners of Route 11 and Route 161. And the Pinkhams, this day, continue to run and be involved in the lumber business, but now out of Ashland rather than Fort Kent area.
David Michaud is a senior at the Fort Kent High School.
In my freshman year, I did a paper on the worst fires in Fort Kent's history. I got the information from the St. John Valley Times and the firehouse. According to records at the firehouse, the Fort Kent Fire Department was organized in 1919 with Joe H. Netto as fire chief and Sol Cody as assistant chief. Firemen at the time were Jim Hoyt, Donald McClellan, Howard L. Cousins, Rennie Tardiff, and Vinnie Otterbear. All they had to work with were two hose reels drawn by the firemen. One was located at present P.V. Roy store, and the other one was located near the present Fort Kent Hotel location now. The first fire truck for Fort Kent was bought in 1923. It was a 1922 Rio model. In winter, the fire equipment was loaded on a sled and drawn by a team of horses. Fort Kent has had only two fire chiefs since 1919. Joe H. Netto was chief from 1919 until he died while fighting a fire at Bagel and Holton Garage on Market Street, February 1, 1963. Paul Netto was Fort Kent's second fire chief. He took over as chief in April 1963 and is still serving in that capacity. Sol Cody was the first assistant chief. He served from 1919 to 1948. Next assistant chief was Leon Cote, 1948 to 1954. Present chief, Paul Netto, was assistant chief from 1954 to 1963. And the present assistant chief is Philip Bouchard, who was elected in 1963. Fire truck drivers for the department have been Theodore Charette, 1923 to 1940, David Pelsey from 1940 to 1943, Dave Babin from 1943 to 1953, Reginald Medore from 1953 to 1960. Former driver Dave Babin took over in 1960 and is still the driver and attendant at the firehouse. Following are dates and places of Fort Kent's worst fires that destroyed business establishments, old landmarks, and industrial buildings. In 1923, fire destroyed part of Main Street from the corner of Hall Street to the present location of the J.C. Penney store. The following buildings were burned: Burgoyne's Barbershop, Vinnie Otterbear's Meat Shop, Ellis Klein Dry Goods Store and Apartments, and another store operated by Sear. Another big fire occurred on January 14, 1931. In this fire, the K.M. Zeiter block burned, which contained an A&P store and a miniature golf course on the first floor, Also, a five-story building burned containing a dry goods store and a four-lane bowling alley on the first floor. Offices on the second, third, and fourth floors, and a dance hall on the fifth floor. In the rear of this building were Cleveland's Laundry, a set of primitive garages, Dr. J. L. Albert's residence and office, DeVoe's dry cleaning, a pool room, and Levitt Dubé's barbershop and residence. This covered an area from the present spot of the Fort Kent drugstore to Mike Gannon's store. Both buildings were constructed of wood. The fire to which eight firemen responded had an unknown cause. One fire, Fort Kent's worst, occurred in May 1945. In this fire, the following are the buildings, which were all on the north side of Main Street, that burned. Daigle and Daigle's store, with the woodworking house in the rear, Mrs. Pearl Bailey's residence, Mrs. Alice Burgoyne's building and residence, and Edgar Bush's barbershop and residence. The fire then jumped across Main Street and burned the following buildings: W.T. Grant's store, Dona Michaud's men's shop, Mrs. Powellette's residence, and the old Arcadia Hotel. All of these buildings were almost completely destroyed. On February 19, 1955, fire totally burned down Nowlin Hall girls' dormitory on the Madawaska Training School campus. The cause of the fire was a short circuit in the electrical wiring after snow sliding down the roof broke the wires. The building was occupied by several boarders, of which five lost personal articles. Also lost was much of the school's domestic science equipment.